Welcome to the seventh in the series of Cosmetic Course podcasts. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers, who we've talked to before from the consulting rooms. And Ron's going to be concentrating today on lead generation. So he's going to be discussing the various ways of really getting new people, new contacts into your practice. So I'm here again with Ron Myers, who's one of the managing directors and partners in the consulting room, and is really an expert in how to make your practice most efficient. So we've talked to Ron before in previous podcasts about other issues, very important about receptionists and how the phone's answered. And I'd just like to ask you today, Ron, the first stage in getting patients in is lead generation.
Yeah.
How do you think people can... What the most effective way of getting patients to ring and to contact you?
Well, I think what you've got to do is to make sure that first of all you invest in making sure that that the materials that you've got, because undoubtedly people will want more information about you and your business when they phone up anyway, is clear, concise about your services and explains why people should come to you rather than other people. I think that's really important when you're looking, first of all, at spending money before you spend money on getting the phones to ring. I think probably, without a doubt now, the most effective and the quickest way to get the phones to ring is via a website rather than an advertisement in a local paper. And certainly we've told ourselves a number of times over the years that unless you really know what you're doing with adverts and you're sophisticated from, I think, a kind of like a direct response perspective in terms of looking at copywriting and looking at making sure that people do act on an advert, I think the web is the best way of doing it. So it's relatively cheap, in fact, virtually free to pull together a website if you want. A very simple, even one-page website is better than none. And you can immediately then link that into a pay-per-click strategy. Where you're putting in a budget of, say, £10 a day or even less if you want to attract people into your business who are searching for the services that you provide using the words that you would search if you were looking for your services. So whether it's Botox in Oxford, for instance, or Wrinkle Solutions in Oxford or whatever, that's really what you're looking at trying to do. And that's probably the quickest and easiest way to actually get people to phone you, and also you know exactly what you're spending.
Yeah, and we sort of covered that quite a lot, that sort of online marketing strategies in previous podcasts. So now, I mean, something I think is very important is you must know how people heard about you.
Yes, absolutely.
So to record accurately, if it was a website, which website was it? If it was an article, which article was it? If they heard from a friend, which friend was it?
I would totally agree. That is the job of the receptionist for a start when you're taking a new inquiry anyway, because those people may not always come in to see you, but it's important to look at where those inquiries are coming in from. But also when people do come in, it's to reinforce that with a check-in sheet that actually asks those questions. And just get people to tick the source and give more detail where required as well. So as you say, if it is a friend referral, look at the name of the friend. And you can then start to build up a picture as well as to look at those people who are referring lots of people into your practice. And yes. What I would do is to then look at rewarding them in some way, shape or form and thanking them. That helps them to reinforce that message that you really do appreciate that you're getting customers pretty much free from them.
Yes.
And also it's more likely for them then to actually and bring in more people. If that person is highly networked, it may even be worth looking at asking them to, doing a special open evening for them, bringing some friends, some drinks, opening up the clinic, and just, going through in more detail the services that you provide in your concept.
Yeah. I like that term, highly networked.
Well, yes, I mean, and there are some people who are highly networked now, and especially, I'm sure you appreciate this as well, looking at social networking, social media strategies. There are some people who can be very highly networked who can get messages out to a lot of people. You know, somebody's got 1,000 friends on Facebook and they're an advocate of your business, and you say, I'm going to, you know, provide a special opening for you and your friends, you might be surprised by how many people they can actually get to come in to that business. So that can be a highly effective way of utilizing somebody who's really happy about your services to bring in other people who don't know about you at that point in time, but who may also, you know, be thinking on the same lines as that person. Yeah.
And conversely, if they're unhappy with your treatment, they can tell 1,000 of their friends about that as well.
Because a lot of people think of marketing and marketing budgets as looking at, you know, things like advertising, maybe websites, that kind of stuff. But I think it's all the touch points that a consumer has with you and your business. And it's all those first impressions.
Okay, so as we said, on programs such as eClinic, it's very important to put in where the patient, you know, heard about you from, and then you can analyse that, can't you?
You can, and that then helps, I think, to be able to look at how much money you've spent on that particular route, and then ultimately, I think you're right with an eClinic as well, you can also then pull out the information that actually then looks at, well, how much they actually spent. So you can look and say, well, if I spent, say, £500 a month on Yale.com and I've generated £2,000 in sales on average a month, well, you can say, well, that's probably worth for you.
Yeah.
And you can look at that as a percentage return on investment. There may be other things that might be better. And if you spent only £100 a month on something, but it's generated £3,000 in sales, then you might say, well, I might want to focus more on that particular strategy. And put more of my marketing budget that way.
So focus on what's winning for you.
Absolutely.
And any sort of figures, Ron, on sort of... So say if you said, you know, Yale.com cost 500, generated 2,000. That's 25% marketing costs, isn't it?
Yes.
And then you've got to add in all the, you know, treatment costs and all the rest of it, which decreases your margin. What sort of figure do you think people should be looking at of a sort of budget percentage for marketing?
Well, I mean, I think again, it depends on the type of business that you're running and the size of budget that you have. And I think the problem is as well, is sometimes it can be very difficult to identify and isolate exactly where somebody found you initially. So I think what I would always recommend is that people look at multiple strategies for a start, but not spending all of their money on one area, and then get a feel for what is you know, providing the most effective route. It really does vary. I would say that probably things like, you know, open evenings where you might spend £400 or £500, but if an open evening has worked effectively, you might sell £15,000 or £20,000 worth of treatments on the back of that.
Yep.
You know, can be a very effective strategy. You're looking more at time and a small amount in terms of looking at advertising to your database and looking at other networks as well. But that can be very effective. I mean, ultimately what you're trying to do is to look at nil spend and, you know, infinity in terms of profit.
Yes, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And the best form bonds for those, I think, are looking at things like friend recommendation, for instance. So if you have a recommend a friend scheme where you might say to somebody who is an existing client of yours and give them a recommend a friend card that might incentivize them, if they get two friends in, it might incentivize them to do that, where they get a percentage off their next treatment, and that the friends that are referred also get, say, 10% off an initial treatment as well. You can look at that and think...
Could I just work through that again? So, so someone comes into your clinic, how do you tell them about the Refer a Friend scheme?
Well, what I would do is you can either look at the practitioners who are in there and look at a verbal reinforcement of this, and, you know, say something along the lines of this can come through when you're actually doing a particular treatment with someone as well, is to look at their service, how happy they are with it, whether or not they feel they have other people as well who would like, you know, these sorts of treatments that they know. If people say yes to that, then it's an easy thing to say, well, I'll tell you what, you're a very good customer of ours as well. If, you know, I'll give you this particular card, if you give it to them and they come in with this card, if two of your friends come in, we'll also, you know, recognise that and give you some money off your next treatment. Some people are uncomfortable with that, and it could be that it's put in an information sheet.
Yes, or your newsletter. Your newsletter,
yeah, newsletter, any other routes that you got on your website, it doesn't really matter. But someone somewhere should be communicating that and looking at some form of incentivization of existing clients to bring in new people, because that does make sense and is very cost effective.
Okay.
The other thing I think as well that is probably a cost effective route as well, if you are going to look at that referral route, is to look at local businesses that don't compete with you.
Yes.
Especially if you have a beauty salon that hasn't and doesn't intend to get involved in medical treatments, more medical treatments, they haven't got a laser in, they've got anyone doing Botox and fillers in there as well, then some form of incentivization can be very powerful there, especially if they've got a database of 3,000 or 4,000 women who are concerned about the way they look.
Yes, and how would you, I mean, financially, what would you suggest? What works?
There's two ways of doing that. The traditional route that I think a lot of people have gone through is more of a kind of a where they go to a salon and then there's a fixed percentage of what I would call the money taken that beauty salon owner takes, rather than, if you like, a room rental basis.
Yes.
So it could be anywhere between 10 and probably 20%. Of the actual income rather than profit that's taken when the practitioner goes in. The problem with that is that's fixed on a repeat basis.
Yes.
And that probably works if you are a practitioner who doesn't own their own premises. But if you're trying to attract people into your premises, then what you don't want to be doing is paying a recurring fee to that salon every time somebody comes back for Botox treatment.
No.
So what I would do is to probably slightly increase and incentivize that first visit and maybe pay them £60-70
if
that person converts through, but just for that one, that very first, you know, visit, and then you're generating income on the recurring visits on the back of that, but you're not paying a referral fee to the salon owner.
So just going back to that point again, so Ron, so if anyone is going to a salon, I think our advice from Cosmetic Courses would really be try and negotiate either an hourly rate or a rate per patient. So every patient you see who has treatment, you may pay them £40 or £50.
Yeah.
And you take the money, and you need one of those cash machines to take the money. So let them perhaps do the booking. You take the money, and then, you know, you pay them just a flat fee per patient.
I would agree with that is the best way. You know, I would say that probably a lot of the people who built their business up over sort of the last, I know some people have been doing this for 15 years, you know, worked and put together the original model on a percentage, and probably fairly standard between 10 and 15%.
Yes.
And of course, the salon owner also has to trust the practitioner that, you know, they're giving them all the money that they're taking.
Yeah.
But
I think one overall principle, I think, in business that I've certainly learned is don't try and be too clever. I mean, if something's going to work, it needs to work for them and for you.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there are plenty of examples of where people have fallen out in those types of relationships with salon owners for a variety of different reasons. And so you do tend to find sometimes that there is this kind of churn as well. And in fact, you can get, you know, some salon owners as well who will, you know, play the game as well and try and say, well, look, I've got, you know, 15 people who come in regularly for Botox with someone else. I'll hand them over to you, if you see what I mean, if you give me more money. So, you know, I think you have to make sure that you're working with someone that is going to work with you on a long-term basis and be reasonable. And also provide, I think, you know, do their part of the game, which is to market effectively to their customer base, so that if you're going to go along and inject, that you've got, you know, a reasonable number of people there.
Yes. So maybe put something in the newsletter, have leaflets around, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, and have a good booking system, and also have a system in place whereby the somebody phones them up before to confirm the appointment, so that when you come in, you don't get a lot of people who just, you know, decided for whatever reason that they couldn't be bothered to come in that day.
Yeah, I think that's another important thing. Is certainly eClinic and some of the other programs give the ability to text the patient sort of the day before, 24 hours before.
That's an automated route of doing it, which is very, very nice.
Yeah, and you could also, as a little tip, you could also put in sort of messages, you know, why you're here, why don't you ask about our new sun protection range.
Absolutely. So it's a way of kind of, you know, priming them or looking at, as you say, you know, any other offers that you've got that they might, you know, look at and discuss when they come in.
Okay. Moving on a little bit, so we discussed sort of internet, refer a friend, offline sort of marketing. What about PR?
Well, I think if you can get the right message to the right media, PR can be very effective. I think it really depends on the locality that you're in and the different routes of media that you've got. Funny enough, I mean, we run a clinic in Birmingham, and it's exceedingly difficult, even in a big city like Birmingham, to get cosmetic-related treatment stories in local press, in local media.
Yes.
Whereas in London, I think it's probably slightly easier.
Yes.
So it does depend on your area and your locality. But putting together a press release is not that difficult. There's lots of templates and examples that you can look at online if you want. The thing is, it's having something that's catchy, and it's going to grab the interest of the local editor or journalist or whatever.
Yes.
Probably we've had more success with business related stories than product related stories. So as a clinic, we've entered some local business awards and been successful in winning those.
Yes.
And that not only helps to add to your credibility as a business in that locality, and you get a little trophy as well, and et cetera, but also, you know, you do get some good column inches and photographs as well in the local press. If you've got a very new treatment that is currently topical at that point in time, and you're the first in that area, then obviously you can, you know, base a story around that. The easiest route of probably getting press, if you can do, is case examples.
Yes.
But you need people who are prepared to have photographs taken and who are prepared to talk to journalists. And, you know, those sometimes take a bit of sorting through when you're looking at a database and trying to find those people.
Yes. I mean, we get calls from the journalists, you know, I want a... Yeah, 30-year-old lady who's getting married next month, who's having a breast enlargement, who's got a twin, you know.
I think the problem is, if you look at, I think, national press especially, you know, they want the more extreme aspects of our business, unfortunately. They don't want to look at the kind of, you know, the bread and butter stories. And you know, because they need to have some angle or edge or whatever. And unfortunately as well, they do promote, I think, some treatments that probably you and I may think aren't valid or aren't safe or just don't have a place in the UK market for whatever reason.
Yeah, they want the new and exciting latest thing. They don't want the tried and tested, do they?
No, they don't.
No.
Which is the bulk of what you're trying to attract as a business, really. You're looking at, you know, the key areas from a non-surgical perspective, injectable treatments. And then maybe peels, which I know you run courses on peels as well. So again, you're investing in training rather than a lot in equipment. And then laser hair removal is probably the next biggest market, and skin rejuvenation.
Yes. Can you do your own PR, or do you need to talk to professional PR agencies?
I believe you can do your own PR. It's a case of getting together a list of the relevant contacts that I think is the issue.
Yes.
I don't like the idea of paying a PR company on a fixed retainer of £1,500 a month and getting the old clipping for that.
No.
So I don't like that idea. I think if you've got a positive story, then the best idea, if you haven't got the time or if you can't get a contact list, is to approach a local PR company and then looking at putting together a fixed cost for that press release and follow-up.
Yes, yes.
So they follow up with appropriate journalists and then measure the effectiveness of that.
Yes,
as
yes.
a single case entity, rather than going to a PR company and saying, right, I want you to, you know, pull together a PR campaign for me.
Yes, yes.
Because they'll try and tie you into a six-month contract, and at the end of it, I will probably pretty much guarantee that you won't have got your money's worth if you're an average business.
So, Ron, one of the things that we did is ring around the local sort of papers, radio, and see if we can get the details of the local health editor, get yes. their details on a spreadsheet, and then we can contact them with press releases. So make friends with them, really.
I think that's right as well. And I think the other issue with that as well is also being, I think, number one, that builds a profile of you as being an expert in the particular arena. So if there is some big national story that comes out that might be applicable from a regional perspective, hopefully you'll be the first they'll contact for comment. The other thing as well, I think, potentially is being sensitive to what is big in the news at the moment.
Yes.
And, you know, if there is something coming out, which I think there'll be a press release coming out, funny enough, this week, looking at the self in the IHAS scheme for cosmetic injectable treatments, which is a new self-regulation scheme. So it's likely that that's going to make national media. And again, it's something that you may want to, you know, go out with a press release to your local media to comment on that.
Yes.
So
basically, I mean, they're always after stories. So if you can give them the answers to the stories, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, or you know, there's this expert comment always as well.
Yeah.
If it's a local area, and if you become known as the local expert, then and a contact point for comment, then you know you can get the press contacting you rather than you having to do it the other way.
Brilliant. So I suppose, so in summary, with lead generation, really, you know, it's the website, which we talked about in other podcasts, you know, PR,
yeah.
refer a friend, you know, I mean, 30-40% of your patients may well be, you know, by word of mouth, so don't overlook
yeah.
that. And also, you know, if you can have a clinic perhaps in a place with a good footfall that people see you, that's
yeah.
that's an advantage, isn't it?
Well, it is, and, you know, you have to make sure that that works for you, because that is going to be probably more expensive premises whether you're buying it outright or leasing it.
Yes.
So you have to build that into your business model. But yeah, certainly. And then you have to look at, you know, things like A-boards, for instance. You know, boards outside your business, offers, the window displays, you know, the more retail, I would say, approach.
Yes.
Depending on, you know, what type of business you're offering. I don't think that necessarily works for cosmetic surgery as a business model, but for non-surgical, then I think companies like Skin have proven that to be successful.
Yes, because they're sort of central, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they've really worked on providing that attractive sort of retail approach where people do, you know, walk in off the street, potentially.
Yes. Brilliant, Ron. Well, thank you very much for those insights. Probably in a later podcast, we'll talk about the other sort of pillars of, you know, making your practice as good as possible, which are, you know, really the consultation,
sure.
retention, average spend, and, you know,
yes.
and retail ranges. So
yes.
Thanks for joining us today, and we'll chat again in further podcasts.
Thank you, Andrew. Look forward to it.
So thanks again for listening to the podcast, and thanks for Ron for sharing his insights with us. As I've mentioned before, you can subscribe to the podcast so you have it delivered automatically to your iPod, iPhone, or any other recorder, digital recorder, so you can listen to it, you know, wherever, in the car, in the gym, wherever's most convenient for you at any time. You can subscribe either via the website cosmeticcourses.co.uk or by going to iTunes and looking for the Cosmetic Course podcasts. If you do go to iTunes, it would be really grateful if you could leave a rating there. Would also really appreciate it if you think of anyone else, perhaps in the industry, who would, you know, value this sort of material that we're producing. You know, please spread the word for us. We've also produced another podcast called the Plastic Surgery Podcast, which is really aimed at surgeons and discusses sort of the latest surgical techniques, you know, to really sort of update us on that, and I'm talking to experts around the world, you know, in particular fields. So thanks again for listening. This is Adrian Richards. Until the next time.